Good morning, Maryhill. How are we? Let's stand up and worship the Lord this morning. I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. And you came along, put me back together. Christian School worship team up here today. Today's going to be just a little bit different. Yeah, all right. Led capably up here by my friend Ernesto, and then we got an old friend back in the back, Bill Elliott, who has trained these guys up to lead us in worship this morning. Hey, no secret here. We believe in the mission of Prairie Hall Christian School. It's not just a ministry. It's not just one of our largest ministries, but it is a mission field. And so today's kind of an extended mission moment. They're going to lead us in worship for a couple more songs. We're going to hear testimonies of a handful of young people who have are having a real encounter with Jesus Christ in their high school year. years. And then also Ms. Dean Ruff is here today to just give you an update on our vision for where this school is going and what the community is doing and how well God's people have been responding to that vision. So enjoy. We're going to sing a couple more songs together. Who's happy to be here? All right, me too. Let's worship.
about a little bit of trusting in God and how such is like an easy thing to understand is like trusting in God, putting our faith in God and believing He can do it for us. But why is it such a hard thing for us to actually do it? Like, we see God's plan is good and we see that He is faithful, but it's so hard to actually do it and lean, and we keep leaning on our own standing. So before we go in, let's surrender it to God right now. Surrender what is on your heart, in your life right now, and cry out, Lord, I need You.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Zach Royce. I am the Spiritual Life Director at Perry Hall Christian School, and I have the privilege and honor of introducing some students. We just heard our school praise team here. But as part of my job responsibility, I planned our missions trip for our senior class this year. And so we have a couple of students, Luke Ryan and Jasmine Dixon, who are going to come and join me on stage. And they are going to share some of their experiences that we had on our missions trip this year. So both of these students are people who don't attend our church. They're faithful members of their own church and have taken on some spiritual leadership roles in their own churches and their school. And so as a reward for that, we yanked them out of their own churches and had them come here today to share to you. So this is Luke Ryan and Jasmine Dix. I'm excited to have them share some of their own experiences from the missions trip with us.
Good morning, everyone. I want to thank Mr. Royce and Perry Hall Baptist for allowing me to come speak here in front of all of you today. So, Mr. Royce did not mention, but I have attended Perry Hall Christian for 15 years. So that's preschool through my up to my senior year. And so I have seen many mission trips throughout the years. Like my sister went on with the class, went on one in the class of 23 to Texas, and I've seen many classes before that. And what I've seen is that this can really make or break a class for the rest of the year. You're basically, in a way, trapped with your classmates for a week. So tensions can get high pretty fast. And so I think I can speak for Jasmine in that everyone was pretty unsure about what was going to happen. Like, we didn't know much. We know we were going to New Mexico. No one knew anything about New Mexico. So that was a bit unsure. And some of us had never been on a plane before, so that was getting them on the plane was probably the hardest part. So it started out a bit uneasy. Everyone's like, all right, well, we're finally in New Mexico. What are we going to do? And it did not help that a certain bus driver got us lost in the middle of the night for the first day. We did make it. It was just we didn't know where we were. And so we all were pretty tired, so after we went to sleep that night, we're like, all right, what are we doing? It's middle of nowhere. Nearest, like, hospital was 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours away. So, and one of the first things the lady, Miss Ute, said to us was, all right, don't break your leg, otherwise we have to airlift you out of here, which, not a great introduction to a bunch of, like, school kids in the middle of nowhere. And so after the first, well, on the first day, we were all like, all right, we started getting an idea of why we're here. We're like, all right, we're here to serve these people. And we started, like, doing basic, like, cleaning activities to help us grow. And it helped us grow closer together as a class. And on the first night, we got to really see the conditions that the people lived in. And they were not great. It did not invoke much, like, confidence into us. They're like, all right, this is a lot, and if we rely on ourselves to do this, we're not going to get it anything done, really. So ultimately, after the first or second day, where it was a bit unspoken, we're like, all right, we need to give up our own fears to better serve these people in this community, because if we're serving them scared, we're not going to be able to make an impact in them. We're not going to be able to, we're just going to be forgotten. We're just, like, maybe a month, they'll still remember us a little bit. But after that, what did we do matter to them? And so, and Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, where he says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If we did not have love in what we did in serving this people, we were just, it didn't mean anything. And so we were like, all right, we have 4 days here. We are going to make the most of it by better serving these people. So our class grew together because people were, like, putting others before themselves in the most, like, selfless way. They were like, hey, how can I help you? Even despite them, like, having just finished up an activity that they were all sent off to do. And it was just an amazing experience. I know many of our classmates, or my classmates, grew closer to God because of this, and it was an amazing experience, and I pray that the future classes going after us may have a better experience. Ours was amazing, and I want it to be better for them, just so that we can keep improving the future generation of God's kingdom. So thank you.
So one of the main things that we did on our missions trip was a service during the nighttime and a host of VBS. And during that time, I got to meet a lot of amazing kids, and I got to see the family conditions of the Navajo people there that we were serving. And there was one particular kid that stood out to me. His name was Josiah. And he came in to the VBS, and he was just crying, and he wouldn't talk to anybody. His sister was telling me that on the way to the service, they had almost gotten in a car crash because his mom and grandma were arguing the whole time. And although that happened, they were still in service worshiping God. And that was just one of the things that was common through a lot of the families. There was a lot of drug addiction that was common there. And it was just so many families that you didn't know what they were going through. But to see them be able to still come out and just offer themselves up to God was an amazing thing. And to be so willing to tell these random kids from all the way across the state what was going on was just amazing. And it reminds me of the verse in Philippians 4:4 that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," because there's just so much going on with these people, but through what was going on with them, they were able to still come and worship God and just offer their lives up to God. And yeah, thank you.
As a faculty member here at school, I've had the opportunity to go on quite a few trips with different classes of students. And there was something special about this year's class, the way that they served, their willingness to interact with the community that we were with, the way that they gelled together, as you heard Luke say, just had this purposeful mentality together that they were going to go and serve. And serve with the right kind of heart. So it was a great encouragement to me to be able to be on the trip this year. I've got great hopes for the students from this class as they leave this building and go out into their different jobs and colleges and all the different places that they're going, that the experiences that they had here at the school will help them as they become leaders for Christ out in our society and our world today. And Mrs. Ruff is now going to come up and share, and the decision was made that our head of school, when she's speaking, there's no way that children could pay attention. And so all of the children, you're dismissed to head to Children's Church before Mrs. Ruff comes and shares with us.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, it is true. You have to dismiss the children before I start talking. It feels that way every day at school. Even when they're sitting in the room, I'm like, are you guys here? Just kidding. When Pastor Chris was kind of going through the order of how things were going to occur today, he said, after the music, we're going to hear from some young people. And I was really hoping he would stop there and include me in that group of young people that we're going to share with you today. But I guess I don't quite fit in that group any longer. So I'm so blessed to be here with you guys today. I hope that you have also been blessed to hear what God is doing in and through some of our students at Perry Hall Christian School. Some of them up here that were in the praise team you recognize because they are faithful attenders of Perry Hall Baptist Church. But also some of them, as Mr. Royce said, as Zach said, you know, go to and attend faithfully other churches. And we are just so blessed to be able to bring them together weekly for our chapel services for our students, and then that you were able to hear from them today. What a mission field we have at Perry Hall Christian School. It is our desire to continue to be able to expand on our ministry to reach more and more students for His kingdom. The school and the church leadership, actually, you can go ahead and put up the first slide if you want to. The school and the church leadership share a common vision for Perry Hall Christian School to be the premier choice for Christ-centered education in the Baltimore County area. And that is that is our vision that we are basing decisions on and that we are prayerfully considering how God is leading us in the future. And as you know, we have endeavored on a building campaign, a building project that we believe is a necessary strategic step in helping us to accomplish our vision. I want to thank you, first of all, for your approval as a church for us to proceed with this building campaign. It was, I think, maybe just about a year ago that you all overwhelmingly approved for us to continue to proceed and to start raising funds and really make this vision a reality. So thank you so much for your support. Your prayer and your support in that is just an invaluable piece of us moving forward. I also want to thank Pastor Dave and the elders and the trustees for their collaborative efforts in helping to make this project possible. And so I'm excited to share with you our progress today. As you can see from this slide, our timeline is just around the corner. With God's continued blessing, our hope is to be breaking ground in June of 2026. And in just 2 years from now, for us to be able to occupy this new building. If you'll move on to the next slide. So when we first came to you for approval for this project, our cost was coming in, I don't know if you remember, at just under $8.5 million. And I'm excited to tell you, praise the Lord, that we are significantly under that budget at this point. We are looking now to build this building at a budget of just around $7 million. And this is due to a variety of factors, but one very important one is the talented and good stewardship of our building committee, which is made up of trustees, elders, school board members, and then school staff as well. And so at the end of this school year, in just a few months, in June, we will have set aside through previously donated funds designated for this project $3 million. We already now, thanks to the generosity of a lot of the people in this room and some of our school families and local community partners, have another over $1 million in committed pledges, bringing us to $4 million. With your prior approval to be able to finance a small portion of this project, we are looking now to raise just under $1 million for us to be able to actually break ground and get this building up and to be using it for the Lord's service. So God is so good. This may still seem like a big number to you, $1 million. I know if you looked at my bank account, you would say that's a big number. You're not going to do it. Not alone, Dina. But Sherry Parliman, our director of development, has a plan where everyone can participate in the way that you feel led by the Lord, and that no matter how big or how small the gift, we will be able to accomplish this goal and raise this last $1 million so that we can continue on with the timeline that we believe God has laid out for us and that we believe we're following in His will and in His path. On the way out of church today, you're going to receive a postcard that has information on how you can continue to support us. I thank you again. For some of you have already donated financially, but all of you I know are praying for this project, and we could not do it without the Lord's help and without your support and your help as well. So on the way out of church today, you will be given a postcard by a Perry Hall Christian School student that has more information about our plan and how you can continue to be involved and you can continue to support this ministry of Perry Hall Baptist Church. And if you'll go to the last slide, I wanted to end with this visual because it reminds me of the community that we are trying to foster here at the school and as you are trying to foster at the church as well. Yes, this gym is going to be used to enhance our athletic program to help us accomplish the vision that I set forward at the beginning of my talk here today to be the premier school for Christ-centered education. And so that we can reach more and more students with the gospel message. But it also will be able to be used to increase internal community within the church and the school, with large spaces for group gatherings, to free up classroom space for other church ministries, and also for community outreach events as well. And again, it is all for the purpose of making a kingdom impact. One of our tagline or theme scripture verses that we have here at the school is Matthew 5:16, and it talks about shining our lights and shining the light of Christ to the world, and so that no matter what we do, we are pointing everyone back to the Lord. And so that is our goal, that is our prayer, and we believe that this project helps us to do that in a bigger way, but also in a way with more with continued excellence, which we also strive to do in everything that we do here at the school. So I'm excited to see how God is going to use this space for things that we have planned out, but also for things that we haven't even imagined yet, because our Lord is bigger than any of our plans and bigger than any of our imagination or our goals. And I'm really, really excited and for your support and for, in all of the ways, through prayer, through hopefully some financial support as well, and just from getting involved in a variety of ways. I'll be here after church if you have specific questions about the project. Sherry Parliman is also here. I saw her. Yep, right here. And she, our development director, and she'll be here after church, as well as several school board members, if you have questions or you want to talk further about this. But thank you so much for allowing me to share a little bit about the mission of Perry Hill Christian School and the things that God is doing in and in our building and through our students and our faculty here. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Dina. I'm going to move this for just a minute here. I want to pray for Dina and for God's continued blessing on our church and our school. It's fun to talk about buildings. We're excited. If you've ever been to one of our, one practical thought, if you've ever been to one of our gatherings after church and we all have lunch in the gym, you may have figured out it's a little tight. That problem will go away, just for an example. We will have plenty of room to worship together and fellowship together in a new space. That all sounds great. Raising funds doesn't sound so great all the time. Difficult at times. A lot of money. We're not talking about buildings or money. We're talking about how can God work through this church and school to make the difference in the lives of young people and their families. One of the things that all of the pastors in this community tell me often, and they mean this in a good way, there's a little jealousy, because all of us are looking to make an impact in the communities we live in. And yet here at Perry Hall Baptist Church and Christian School, if we take the number of kids and we add to that their families and their grandparents, this is what gets these other pastors a little bit, 3,000 plus souls come here to us. 3,000, and many of them do not know the Lord. And so we get the privilege of loving them, teaching them, walking with them, seeing God work in their midst. And so please, as we're excited about a building and as we're excited to see how God's going to meet the financial need, do not miss the vision. The vision is the glory of God as the gospel of Jesus Christ spreads, and that kids and their families would be changed because they came here to Perry Hall Christian School. So please keep that in mind. I want to pray for Dina and the entire school. But before I do that, I also want to make sure you know that in this prayer, I will not only be praying for the school and for God's provision, that he would multiply, he would provide, he would help us be faithful with what he gives, that lives would be impacted. But there's another part of this prayer. I have been around here a long time. I'm one of the old ones. Thank you. I've had a chance to know almost all of the principals, heads of schools, including Dina. They've all been wonderful people. This is what I'm getting ready to say, is not to say anything about them. Folks, we are in a good place with the head of our school. I'm telling you, God has blessed us over the last few years with an incredible board, wonderful teachers, but it all works under leadership. And this is good leadership, what you're seeing today. We love this lady. We support her and her team. But many of you also know that Dina has been in a multi-year battle with stage 4 breast cancer. And so we've been praying for her for a long time. And we're praying for her healing. We're praying that God would restore her. She's here today after already being gone for 4 days in Mexico getting treatment for this stage 4 cancer, because there's a sense in which what she's getting here needs to either be supplemented or something in addition that will help her. So every other week, she travels to Mexico to get some treatment. And boy, we're praying that the Lord would use that treatment in her life. But what I want you to know, she's here today. It's not easy to spend 4 days of treatment in Mexico, fly back yesterday, be with us today. So please, as I pray, be praying with me that God would not only do something, yes, in the school. We can do wonderful things with buildings or without buildings. We can praise the Lord. But we want to see lives changed. And right now, this is who is the leader of the school. So we want to pray for her and that God would indeed work in her life physically. So join me. Father, you are so kind to us. We are grateful that you have put us here for this season of our lives at Perry Hall Baptist Church. And Father, we're grateful for all the wonderful things you are doing. Lord, you provide, you protect, you use us to proclaim the goodness and greatness of God through Jesus Christ. Father, we are pleased and proud to have an incredible missions budget that supports missionaries and the spread of the gospel around the world. Father, we're grateful for part of our budget that speaks to outreach here in this local community. Father, we not only want to love one another well, but we want to see lost people come to know Jesus Christ. But Father, specifically today, we give thanks for the school that you gave us over 50 years ago because of the wisdom of the leaders at Perry Hall Christian, Perry Hall Baptist Church. They had a vision for something that would happen. And funds probably then, regardless of the numbers, probably seemed just as impossible as they do today. And yet, Father, we're in the second iteration of Perry Hall Baptist Church and Perry Hall Christian School, from small beginnings just down the street to this wonderful property we sit in today, almost 50 years ago, is all a beautiful picture of your goodness to your people at Perry Hall Baptist Church. We have nothing because of our own doing. We have everything because of what you have done. And Lord, we stand here today with a sense of great expectation at what you're going to do in our midst. Father, you help us give you glory as we plan for a future for more and more lives to be impacted. Now, Father, we give the challenge of fundraising and the challenge of getting this project done. That's you and your timetable. We're excited about where we believe we are. We're excited about saving a lot of money. But Lord, we're more excited because we want to follow you, and whatever you do gets us excited. And now, Father, I ask for your hands of healing upon our sister. Father, we know that she has been here for such a time as this. She is the leader that you've given us over these many years to put us in a place that we've never been before. And in addition to her, the board that sits here today, the building committee that serves, the teachers that sacrifice, and the families that have invested in the Perry Hall, we collectively ask, would you intervene both for our school but also for our leader? And Father, may you give her health. May the treatment be effective. And if the treatment's not effective, may you intervene in her life and may you heal her directly for your own glory and for your own purposes. May she feel your strength today, your love. May she know that you are with her and her days are in your hands. And Father, we will look forward to what you're going to do in all of these things. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, dear. That was what Chris called an extended missions moment. And because our school is one of our largest ministries, we want you to have an update once in a while of what's going on. And we are excited what the Lord's doing. We are more excited of what the building will do for impact, not the building itself, although that is certainly exciting. It's because of the vision God has given us. If you turn now We are going to keep on track with our study in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Hopefully you have now the handout in front of you. I think I have one, so I know what I'm saying. And we are going to be in Ephesians 5. I pray that you all have a Bible or your phone and you will follow along as I read. I would like to read verses 1 and following, concluding at the end of verse 14. Again, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they are doing or do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Father, open up your word to us. May we see you. May we see the glorious gospel of Christ again and again. May we seek to please you by what we learn as we apply it. We love you, Lord, and we commit this study of your word to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's interesting that we had a service. We have lots of funeral services, it seems, but we had a service yesterday that indeed was a very difficult service as we celebrated the life of one of our own, both praise team and church family, and that is the life of David Ficca. The message today, as you can see, is walking in light. I'm going to read a note from the Ficca family that they would like me to share, and they were overwhelmed yesterday because of you all, in the sense of the way God spoke to them, the way he embraced them, the way they felt the love of this church family. And so they wanted to express that. And you could say, well, I could just send this out. No, I want to share it because of how she uses her words or how they use their words. So they start off with this. Good morning, Pastor. Again, we can't thank the church enough for being by our side during these last few days, for spiritually supporting us with your prayers and leading through David's celebration of life. We knew that David was a kind, generous, and loving person to those in his life. We just didn't know how far-reaching, now get this, we did not know how far-reaching his light shined and all the stories behind them. His service yesterday provided us with immense comfort as we continue to mourn and grieve David not being physically here with us every day. I believe those in our extended family that didn't hang out as much with David only saw him as little David sitting quietly in the corner. But yesterday, the true David came out in those testimonies. We knew there were many family members, friends, colleagues who heard for the first time yesterday. Now hear this. Many yesterday heard for the first time the grace, saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the message and through the way the people cared for us. We will be following on today online. Welcome, Ficca family. We understand that you needed a day. But would you convey the following message to the church? Thank you for all of your continued prayers for us during this difficult time. David's celebration of life service yesterday would not have been possible without the loving support of a wonderful church family. A special thank you to all the staff, the greeters, the ushers, the hospitality team, the food set up, the servers, and many more that visited and those that sent us cards with love and messages. We personally feel your prayers, your love and support during this difficult time. The Lord is blessing us with great strength, and we feel his loving embrace. Oh, that's pretty good, Perry Hall. That's the light of David's light that was shared. In a sense, the light that we shared with a lot of folks that do not yet know Jesus Christ yesterday. One of the most beautiful things that happened yesterday was that we had a time of sharing and kids were given testimony of David's impact in their lives. But maybe many of you don't know that David chose at age 16 to be an organ donor. And when you become an organ donor, you check boxes of what organs, and he checked just about every box. There is something unbelievable to me that I still can't grasp. But David's organs will impact hundreds of lives. Not four or five. Hundreds. Well, one of the folks got a kidney. I can't remember left or right. We had two people get kidneys. But one had a relationship with the family. And really, although we thought it was possible, we didn't think it would happen. When I said, would anybody like to share? A woman came forward, Mrs. McLaughlin, and she thanked the church. She said, I don't know any of you. I don't know any of David's family. I don't even know David's family. But I want you to know that we were prepared to say goodbye to my husband. And God used David's organ donation to save my husband's life. God works all things for his purposes. He is accomplishing his purposes for his glory. This is a beautiful picture of how God works through one of his saints. And while we never know our days, we do know this, that God does not make mistakes. And we can trust him. And this is a beautiful picture of that. And family, we are part of that. If I could have a plea, and then I'll move on. Don't live your Christian life, and I think I'm preaching to the choir, but maybe there's people online, maybe there's people that will hear this. This is not go it yourself, go it alone life. The Christian life is intended to be done in community. This family needed this church community, and by the way, they will continue to need this church family for weeks and months and years to come. This is why my plea is for those that remain distant. You're here on Sunday, and we give thanks to you being here. We're grateful that you're here. But there's more to life in the body to one service a week. Plug in for your own joy and benefit. Plug in where you fit so that you indeed are a vital, important, critical part of this body. Because as we see all those organ donations affecting so many, the way God designed the body, each part matters to this church. So thank you for letting me share a little bit of their story. I do that really to encourage you, to comfort them, and to give glory to God for his work through this time. Ephesians chapter 5. good news and bad news. It all depends on your perspective. The good news is we're not going to make it very far. That's good news for me. I say it's your perspective because some of you, you want to move on. So here, just hear this now. Brother Bob Meistering, hear this clearly. This is part one of walking in light. Let me give you the key verses here. Verse 7 says, therefore, do not be partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what I want to focus on. Before I do that, I will tell you that I received a few questions after last week's message. They are good questions. They are thoughtful. They are from the heart. The questions relate not to the issue of last week's message on running from sin, the sins of sexual immorality, sins of impurity, sins of greed or covetousness, the sins of placing other gods, substitute gods in our lives, or filthiness and foolish talk or crude language, crude joking. That is certainly what we talked about last week. And it's contrasted those sins and many others with what it means to walk in love and what it means to walk in light. But the question related, and I think there's maybe some of you here today that may have a similar question. And so what I'm going to do is just take a brief minute to tell you what verses concern people that we read last week. Read this morning, but we focus on, there's some parts of this that concern people. And part of me as a pastor, Pastor Chris and I, when people are concerned, we want to give comfort. Sometimes the words we share do not feel very comforting. Let me give you an example. Verse 3. Sexual morality, impurity, covetousness. Listen to the next line. Must not even be named among you. That's a line that's troubling. It NIV, if you have an NIV Bible, there must not even be a hint of these sins. Some versions may say it shouldn't even be mentioned or heard. That's the first one. End of verse 3. This is, the ESV says, as is proper among saints. But let me say it differently. These things are improper. These sins are improper and should not even be named. That's difficult line number one. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Here comes number 2, which are out of place. They don't belong. They're not part of church life. They don't fit. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. That one we talked about last week. Now look at verse 5. You may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, here it is, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. It's the third one. Come back to that. No inheritance. By the way, it doesn't mean that you won't get your crown, but you'll still get home. In other words, I'll make it to heaven, but I won't have an inheritance. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, idolatry, covetousness, greed, sexual sins, sins of the tongue, and by the way, folks, on and on. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God comes. Folks, if you're sitting here as a believer in Jesus Christ, you will not feel the wrath of God to come. If you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, this is wrath for different children. They're referred to as sons of disobedience. So here's where the challenge was to the person that asked the question, and I appreciated it. I wanted to clarify. Well, Pastor, you're saying that there's sins, all these sins and many more, we are not to commit. Yes. But what you didn't mean to say, Pastor, or at least it wasn't clear, is that yes, we do sin, and some of these sins are named in our church, and maybe everybody in here at least has some understanding of sins of sexual nature, or of the heart and physically, of not using our tongues well, filthy, foolishly, crudely, living impure lives. We all recognize these things. But surely, Pastor, that can't mean that they're not going to heaven that commit these things. See how that can be a challenge? Let me make it clear. Believers still battle the remaining sin in our lives. Believers can commit heinous sins, from gossip and complaining and discontent and lack of faith and anger at God, all the way to what we classify as sins like these. We put capital letters on these sins because they're not mine. That's somebody else's. So I'm going to put a capital C on that, S on that sin. I'd like to put lowercase s's on my sins, if you don't mind. Folks, this passage is serious, for goodness sake. Sin is real. It is devastating. It ruins lives. It ruins families. It ruins relationships. It ruins testimonies. It ruins churches. It ruins pastors. And if it is sin that is not dealt with authentic brokenness of heart and desperate repentance and confession before the Lord and a hatred for it and a running from it, even those that profess to know Jesus Christ do not have an inheritance in heaven. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Look at why this is so important to Paul. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Why would anybody want to deceive somebody with empty words? What do you think about that? Let no one deceive you with empty words. What is Paul talking about? I think at the crux of it, folks, it's the people that want to deceive us by making our sin not seem so bad. I think that's the heart of this. Being deceived, it ain't so bad, or it's part of the life we live. And yes, we do battle remaining sin, but Paul is using words here that are so clear. Don't let it be named among you. Don't even let it be a hint of this. It's not proper. It's out of place. This is not who you are. When you sin, you run to him in confession, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You cannot lose your salvation, folks, that's for sure. Not because of us, but because of him. But if you live in unrepentant sin and you continue to defy the God of this universe and mock the work of his son on the cross by naming the name of Christ and continuing to run after your desires and your greed for more, and there's no repentance and there's no desire to change, but a little plea that said, well, I am a Christian because of something in the past. Listen, folks, your past is no evidence of where you stand with Jesus. You know what's an evidence of where you stand with Jesus? Your present. Where are you today? What are you doing in your walk of love, looking like Jesus as he is the ultimate imitator of God? And we imitate Jesus as we follow him. We imitate our Father. We live lives of holiness. And that's what this passage, verses 8 to 14 is, if your pastor would ever get there. But I want to end the confusion. Yesterday, it was very serious that we explained to a group of people filled this room, large crowd, for David's service. Because of the circumstances of David's passing, there was questions about the eternity of his soul. And I was able to, based on the absolute promises of God's word, say that our brother David is now face to face with the Lord. Because nothing will separate us from Christ. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. So you're thinking, Moyer, we're a little confused. We're safe and secure in the palm of God's hand. We can't break away from the embrace. We know that we're his and he'll never lose any. Praise God, right? I thought that would be exciting. He will never lose one. But he may have people, we may have people that think they're one of his and are not really his. And I don't mean because you just cursed coming to church at your wife, or hopefully not that, but at the car that just ran you off the road. And we're not running around, folks, like a brick's getting ready to hit us as soon as we sin. We have a faithful, intervening, interceding Son and Spirit on our behalf, intervening, interceding for us. We have a pathway to restored relationship through brokenness and repentance and running into his arms every time we displease him. But we have way too much stuff going on, folks, that because of something in your past, you're hanging on to, and yet your life gives evidence that there is no life. Paul says, let it not be so. It's improper. It's not the truth. And this debate, for some reason, is raging on in the church by saying, well, you can live any way you want. Long as you know Jesus, don't worry about a thing. Folks, that is heresy. That is heresy. Yes, there will be sin. We see the Bible filled. Isn't it wonderful that God fills the scripture with flawed saints? As the scripture doesn't say, but commentators have said, we get to see God's people with warts and all. Praise God that he did that. We don't see it sugar-coated. But one of the dangers we're facing, back to verse 6. One of the dangers we're facing, folks, says, let no one deceive you with empty words. What we're facing, the danger, is there's an awful lot of empty words. We are being deceived today. You do not hear me doubting grace today. Oh my goodness, is grace sufficient? My sin is great, but he's good. My sin is ever before me, hopefully decreasing, but oh Father, I still remain simultaneously saint and sinner. Saint and sinner, simultaneously until we're perfected in heaven. So the concern over this passage is the danger of empty words. I really did think I'd get farther than verse 6. Did you know, by the way, that we're all here together to hear what the Lord has to say, not on some agenda of time? And I don't mean that we don't get out of here on time. I don't mean that. I mean, don't ever walk into this place hoping to get what you think you want. Come into this place with your arms open wide and your heart spread. Lord, would you speak to me today? Would I hear your word? Would I magnify your name? Would I glorify you with whatever you say? That's what we want to hear when we come. But empty words, one last thought. I asked the question, why the empty words? Well, you know, there's a couple reasons. I'll make it easy. Give me C's. C's? C's. Number one, I think it's comfort. I think we not only give words that are empty to bring comfort to a sinner so they don't feel so bad, and that sounds godly, but comfort must be truthful. But I also think that one of the reasons we like empty words is because I want comforting words for me. I really don't want my sin to be as bad as it sounds or to look like the Bible says it looks. So there's a comfort level. There's comfort. The other reason why I think there may be empty words is not just the comfort there, but the comparison. Thank God I'm not the person described in Ephesians 3 and 4. Praise God that's not me, sexually immoral. And greedy? That's not me. Impure? Nope. Well, of course, the challenge there is, are you describing your habits or your heart? And then all of a sudden you think maybe we should get down on our knees and say, Lord, if there's anything unclean in my heart, would you cleanse me? But we compare these biggies that we would never do. Did you hear about that person? They were unfaithful in their marriage. That's serious. That's serious sin. It breaks the heart of God. It breaks the covenant of marriage. But it is not outside the scope of God's ability to create something new and beautiful. Marriages that have been hurt by unfaithfulness over and over have been healed by a faithful God. But we compare ourselves, I've not done that. So the comparison is, I'm not so bad, so I give words that are empty and deceitful. And yet, we run around complaining. We run around gossiping, wanting to know more about somebody else's sin. We run around with discontent, or maybe you run around with anger at God because of your circumstances. Anger at God, in my opinion, and I think the Bible matches this, anger at God, while understandable, is always sin. Comparisons, comfort. Why else for deceiving words of emptiness? I believe confusion. Not only because of the comfort we want, not only because we draw comparisons, but confusion generally with what is the doctrine of sin. And people, if I keep talking about sin like I did last week and this week, some of you check out, you go to a church where they'll tell stories and tickle your ears. We're not doing that here, but you notice we only talk about it when the Bible talks about it. That's what we're doing here. Isn't it great that I don't have to think about this too much? This is where we are. And the Lord is making sure we see something about the seriousness of sin. But there's confusion, theologically, biblically, that sin just isn't not as serious as it really is. We don't think it's as serious as it is. It's sinfulness of sin, enough that we should crush it, kill it, mortify it, as we said last week. Okay. Let's move on. Empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Folks, if ever there's a comparison going on, it's right here. Paul has been using Ephesians, one of the greatest letters he wrote, one of the greatest books in the Bible, to tell us about the old us and the new us, about the old man and the new man, living in the flesh, living in the spirit, living in darkness, living in light. Paul is using and compounding these contrasts so that we really know what it looked like and what it now looks like. We were dead, but now we're alive. Ephesians is making a beautiful picture of the gospel and what God did for us through Christ. and how he saved us by grace and made us his children and made us his family and adopted each and every one of us to be his with all the blessings and benefits of family life. And then he says, because all of that is true, then live like who you are. Be who you are. We wouldn't say to my grandson Pierce at 1 year old, live like a man. Hey, Pierce, stop all that crying. Stop donning your diapers. Be a man. We wouldn't do that, would we? But as a Christian, a professing Christian, we can say, well, live like who you are. Because that's who we are. Folks, please get this. This is going to make it easier. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if you have run after him in repentance and faith, and you've run into his open saving arms, you are not only not under the wrath of God, you will experience your inheritance in heaven in the kingdom of God, which speaks for the sphere of his salvation. All those things are true, but you won't look like this anymore, Paul says. You won't look like this anymore, and don't keep objecting. Well, what about that? We're talking about the characteristic pattern of your life. Paul is not saying if you sin, you're out. First of all, you can't get out if you're in. But he's not worried about that. He's talking about a characteristic pattern of living indifference and rejection of the law of Christ and of God. If that's you, you should be concerned. I said to the person last week that asked this wonderful question, you should be concerned. Not her. The scenario. The professing believer that lives with complete indifference to God, who lives with reckless abandon for themselves, with not a thought of spending time in his word. Now, in this room, there are real Christians in this room that are not spending time in his word. I am not saying if you didn't read your Bible every day this week, you're not. Please don't hear that. What I am saying, if you're a real Christian, a growing desire grows within you to be in his word. There's no way to live the Christian life without living in intimacy with our Lord and Savior. Closeness in proximity. And where can he be found? The psalmist says he is found in his word. So the wrath of God, folks, is coming upon both the unregenerate. The wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedient and not the children of God. But the wrath of God is coming upon those that are counterfeit Christians. Now, that's not meant to scare you. That's not meant to ruin your day. It's meant to let us get on our knees collectively and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I continue to be a work in progress. I need others. I need your, first of all, I need your spirit. I need others to walk with me. And I need your word to continue to expose my sin, which we'll get into next week. Verse 7, he now switches. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. I'm sorry, partners with them. This is not calling for some monastic lifestyle or some separation where we don't hang with the world. For goodness sake, the passage is going to go on to say that our holiness will expose sin in the lives of others and point them to Christ. Our time with unbelievers is a time where we get to share Christ with them. We want to be with unbelievers, but we're not going to be partners with them. We're not going to participate in the evil works of darkness. So that's a warning as well. And then we get into the section of light. Verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let's just make this easy and we'll finish with this verse. The metaphor is walking. And then the metaphor is given new meaning as we think about the the other metaphors that are added on to the metaphor of walking. In this chapter, we've looked at one, walking in love. We're beginning to look at, and we'll look at next week in part two of this passage, walking in light. And then in verse 15 and following, we will look at walking in wisdom. This is the beauty of the Word of God. We know that walking is a metaphor for how we live, how we conduct our lives. And it doesn't look like verses 3 and 4. It looks like verses 1 and 2. And then he's going to give us a picture of what it means to walk in light. Just a few thoughts as we go that direction and we'll close. Back to verse 8, I want you to see two different contrasts. Verse 8, at one time, that's the past, you were darkness, but now. So Paul is being so careful to make sure we're not confused. He is saying, at one time, this is who you used to be. But now, this is who you are. See how clear that is? This is who you were. This is who you now are. Now look at the second contrast. Same verse. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light. Now, maybe we would have thought that we're missing something here. Maybe it should have said at one time. So first of all, one time you were, now you are. This speaks to who we are, not simply how we're living. This speaks to our identity in Christ, our union with Christ. We were once like this, and this is the contrast. You were dead, but you're alive. You walked as a Gentile. You were far away, but now you're near. You walked in the flesh. You now walk in the Spirit. You used to be the old man. Now you're the new man. These are the contrasts. That's the old. That's the new. This is who you were. This is who you are. But look at the way Paul says it. For at one time, you were darkness. Did anybody think something was missing in your Bibles? What should it have said? At one time, you were in darkness. Or maybe at one time, you were walking in darkness. Notice it's not there. You were darkness. Same thing after that. It says, but now you are in the light. Doesn't say that. Now you are walking in the light. Doesn't say that, although it will. The point that Paul is saying, you and I were in such darkness, it was personal. It wasn't simply that we were in a world governed by the Prince of Darkness. It wasn't simply that we're under the darkness of sin. It's not simply that people will one day spend all of their eternity in darkness. Here it's saying, all of us before Christ, we were darkness and only darkness. Oh, praise God, folks, because here's the other side of the contrast. You're not simply walking in light. You're not simply revealing the light. You're not only using your light to expose. You're not only using your light to bring glory to God. All that's true. We'll do that next week. But you now, who you are light. Boy, is that good. As we close, let's just think about this. Number one, are you still walking in darkness? If you're here today and you have never been exposed to the light, you have never understood of the light of the gospel, or the source of all light, God himself, who John, 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, the source, and his character is light. Are you in darkness or are you now light? That's first. Second, believers. And this is so important. As a believer, what part of that darkness do you still see moving into your light, your world? What darkness remains that may have to be removed? What darkness are you praying, Lord, take that away? What areas of light, as we seek to be faithful light bearers, what parts of our light is still hidden under a bushel basket is still not seen by the world around us. May God bring many yesterday at the service and maybe even here today. May God bring people out of darkness into light. And may believers in this room be beautiful pictures of people that once were darkness, but now we're light for the glory of God. Father, we pray that you would take what we've heard, that you would encourage us today. Father, may there be no questions. Your word tells us that this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. But Father, the remaining sin in us as we battle often brings doubts and discouragement, and maybe unchecked can bring serious doubts of where we are. Father, I pray that this message would be an encouragement for each of us to examine our hearts, to see where we are. Father, to give you praise that we are no longer darkness, but we are now light. And a daily prayer to cry out to you to say, Lord, may I live in the light. May I imitate the light. May I follow the example of the one who came into the world, our Savior and our Lord Jesus. He came in and he said, I am the light of the world. Father, we are in him. We have our union in him, and therefore we through him have light. We are light. We live as reflections of that light. Father, encourage us this week. Bring repentance where necessary. Father, may we stop giving or answering to the deception of empty words. May we take heed of the seriousness of sin in the passage that we've read, but may, Father, it point us to the grace and goodness of our Lord and Savior. Father, may you be magnified to bring about change wherever that is needed in each of our lives, that our light would not be under a basket, but it would shine brightly as the sun. Be glorified through this, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And worship as we close out today.
I'm going to pray and then have just an announcement or two, so bear with me. Let's pray. Father, we need you today. And Father, while the lyrics to this song say that we need you every hour, I think we need you every minute, every moment. Father, would this church collectively cry out an acknowledgement that we need you? Father, may we as individuals make it a part of our daily voice to heaven. Lord, we need you. We cannot do it alone. Oh, Father, and as we cry out to you, may you respond with grace that we need. Not simply for us, but more importantly for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just a couple thoughts, folks, before we go. Number one, can we give this group a hand? Yeah, so you see the familiar faces, Hymans, Hunberriers, Finnerins, and others here, part of our church family. This is just a cool thing for us to put them on display, their gifts as image bearers. Did I miss somebody? Sorry, honey. Never mention names. Sorry, Chuck. Is that who that's right family in it? Yeah. Does anybody in this room like chili? I need it here. No, seriously. Okay. We're trying to gather for some chili, for goodness sakes. But the event is in danger of being canceled because we don't have enough professional chili makers. So we need your help this week. Sign up. And what you can do if you have to, you can put Hormel chili in one of your family dishes, add some spicy nonsense, and run with it. What was that about? So we need to hear from you if you're chili. Next slide. We also are taking a collection from now through 2nd through the 12th. This will benefit both Choose Hope in Edgewood and Pregnancy North. So here, you will get this in your email. You will get it on the newsletter. Please pay attention to this. This collection means a lot. And this is one of the ways our light continues to spread. Last slide. Is there one more? Paint with Kate at Brightview. Painters, Women's Connect. This is you. Pay attention, ladies. We would love to have you participate with us in Paint with Kate. Hey, guys, have a great week, and may our light shine so that people give glory to God this week. Amen? Amen. Let's go. Well done, guys.